Hi, everyone. Welcome to Tech on Rec, brought to you by Vivacity Tech PBC. Tech on Rec is a podcast for educators and technology experts in the K-12 space to learn, share, and grow their knowledge on ways to unwreck their school tech.
I'm Nikki, your host for today's episode, and I'm really looking forward to sharing a conversation I recently had with Lucas Torrey, the Educational Technology Director at District of Columbia Public Schools. Lucas's journey and passion for integrating technology began with a class he took during undergrad, leading us to connect for this podcast episode where we discuss DCPS's adoption of AI within the district. The more schools I talk to, it's becoming evident that AI in education is not a passing trend. It is here to stay, and every district is on their own unique journey with AI. If anything, I hope as you listen to how DCPS is staying ahead of the game with AI, it will allow you to think about where your district is on that journey too. Welcome everyone to another episode of Tech on Rec. We have a very special guest with us here today talking about a very special topic. So I want to introduce everyone to Lucas. Lucas, I have to tell you, I have been looking forward to this podcast for so many reasons. This past week, I was traveling, doing some professional development at a couple of trade shows, and buzzword, topic of conversation was AI, like literally everywhere. I wish I could have counted how many times AI was used. So many times. And what I found really interesting, I was on the West Coast doing some PD, is either the fear that is coming with AI, which I was really not expecting. I was a bit shocked about that. Or really the lack of education with AI right now. And what I learned about that was that a lot of school districts are not ready to prepare their teachers to have the conversation with AI because they're looking to adopt some AI policies first. And I was like, this is perfect because that is what our topic is about here today, talking about AI policies and how to be able to support your district moving forward, because I feel like AI is just not some initiative. Would you agree? Like, I feel like this is innovative. It is the future. It's going to be around for a long time.
Absolutely. It's, you know, I see it transforming the educational system as we know it. And so you're absolutely right with what is our approach when we begin to think about adopting artificial intelligence into the education system. At DCPS, we kind of took a multi-prong approach where we want to address the policy in a few different ways. So
yeah, tell me more about that.
Yeah. So first, we looked at our academic integrity policy and designing one that begins with guiding students on instruction to build research skills, leveraging technology to provide students with access to quality informational resources, and what tool we could use to do that. And we kind of landed on Turnitin. So with that, we created an academic integrity policy that will be incorporated into our secondary grading policy. That's a one way that we wanted to address the use of artificial intelligence. So it's not just limited to artificial intelligence. It's more about plagiarism and academic integrity at large. And then we also thought, how can we include it in our student acceptable use policy? So we have our student enrollment packet, which is going to be launching actually at the end of March. And that will include a new section on AI usage. So we are joining a small group of school districts, school year 23-24, that actually has an artificial intelligence policy on the books. So it's really exciting. And then the third way that we wanted to kind of tackle this was really just providing guidance and resources to our staff. So the chancellor, Dr. Lewis Farabee, sort of charged me at the beginning of this school year to find ways to support integrating artificial intelligence. And one of the things that I did was develop a DCPS teacher toolkit. And it's a resource page on our intranet using SharePoint, where we've included asynchronous professional learning. We've included our synchronous professional learning lessons on integrating AI and all the really great resources that teachers and students can use as they begin to think about adopting artificial intelligence. And finally, what we did was, building on that toolkit, we actually have a artificial intelligence guidance playbook. So it includes a lot of the information from all of our different resources, our acceptable use, our grading policy, the toolkit itself. So it's sort of like, after we created that toolkit, what we thought about was, how can we make this more streamlined for access and adoption? And so we designed the DCPS AI guidance playbook. So it includes information from our acceptable use policy, our academic integrity policy, the approved list of tools, guiding principles, training, resources, all in one place for our DCPS stakeholders to use.
I have so many questions to follow up on, but first I want to say congratulations, because like I said, I was at that trade show this past week and learned a lot about the fear that districts have with AI, and even teachers too, and just like the lack of knowledge and what it can afford teachers and staff itself. So I kind of want to backtrack a little bit and start from the beginning. You have this policy in place regarding AI, and you just spoke to that. And the idea of AI, although it has been around for quite some time, I always like to say, in regards to it being used as a classroom tool, that is new-ish. That's a new-ish idea. So you did mention this a little bit. Can you share a bit more how your district leadership team came together to notice this growing trend of AI in education and then decided to come together to create this policy around it?
Absolutely. I think across the nation, especially when ChatGPT began gaining traction in the public, was around the same time that district leaders started to be alerted of this technology and the implications that it could have in schools. And so some of the things that started to happen around that time was our CTO, Cyrus Varani, the Chief of Data and Strategy in the Office of Data and Technology, started engaging in discussions with other CTOs in networks. I started engaging professionally and personally with AI, really just getting insight from different colleagues, from teachers, other central service employees, students, families, friends, my niece and nephew, really just to start to gain a better understanding of, like you said, how are people feeling about AI right now? Is there a fear factor, or are they seeing this new technology as an opportunity for growth? So personally, that was what I was doing. And then we started to think about, how can we formalize this more? And that's where we engaged with our students in two different ways. We have the Technology Advisory Committee in DCPS, which is made up of community members, principals, teachers, and central service employees. And in that technology advisory committee, we have sessions where we invite students to engage in conversations. And one of the conversations was, of course, around artificial intelligence. So gained a lot of insight into the student perspective in those sessions. We also did a similar session with the Chancellor's Student Advisory Committee, same kind of format and gaining their perspective. So all of that to help sort of frame and form our vision at DCPS for how we plan to adopt artificial intelligence. And with all that, we decided we are going to have a learning stance approach. And we understand that this is fast changing, and we want to explore that with curiosity. We want to explore the opportunities that AI can provide for all of our stakeholders. We want to do that in a responsible and ethical way, supporting academic integrity, student acceptable use, while providing those safety and guardrails for data security and student behavior, so that our students are future ready for college and career in the digital age. And that is sort of our philosophy in a nutshell, and the steps that we kind of took to get there.
I love that you talked about embracing the learning and the curiosity with AI tools. But there was something else that you also mentioned, which I really think is part of that fear factor, which is safeguarding students' information, right? So when it comes to those security measures, what has been put in place to kind of safeguard students' information when they are using those AI applications?
Absolutely. Our approach is, again, a multi-step approach. We've included those specific concerns in our professional development. We've included guidance documents that support all of our stakeholders understanding how we're tackling this challenge. It's in our policy that all AI tools must be submitted to our data and security team for review prior to purchase. We want to make sure that we're safeguarding it from the beginning. And we are actually using AI to support this as well within our network. So
the irony.
We have what's called Lightspeed systems. One of the features is an AI enhanced filtering system, which also reviews application terms of service and privacy policies for tools that are accessible within our network and alerts us when those tools' policies may change and if they do not follow our district policies as they stand. So, you know, we're using AI to identify AI, and it seems to be working really well for us.
Yeah. Okay. You talked about apps needing to be approved, and obviously, there are some budgetary considerations when it comes, not to all AI apps, but to some. There's always that freemium and that premium cost to them. When you are creating and working with your team to create the policy for AI, was that in consideration, like the ongoing maintenance cost, any additional hardware or software that might need to be purchased in order for the AI tools to be most successful in providing that support to students and teachers?
That was definitely where we started the conversation, was identifying the largest gap that we had and concerns that we had at that time, as many other school districts had, which was really around cheating and plagiarism. And so, you know, we made that decision to purchase a tool that supports that immediate need, which I said earlier was Turnitin. Also, part of our guidance includes the ways that teachers can utilize the AI detection tool within Turnitin. So that was one approach. So identifying that immediate need. We've also took some time to audit the tools that we currently have within the school district. As you know, many tools are now adding these AI features to them. So what do we already have existing that can start to be utilized within the instruction already has AI features? And then the third thing that we did was gather feedback to determine what tools we should invest in to support learning outcomes and efficiency in the future. So I mentioned the student panel, the TAC committee themselves. So we're gathering that feedback to see this larger investment and more a sustainable future of AI in the district to make that decision.
And in creating those policies, when you were talking about them, you had mentioned that a lot of feedback came from the community, the teachers, the students, the administrators as well. So I'm curious, and again, just my own interest here, being that I just did a PD on this, have you, from the teacher side or even the student side, has there been any resistance with bringing AI tools into the classroom?
Because we're taking a learning stance approach to adoption, there are no requirements right now within the district for teachers and students to utilize AI tools. So it's really the teachers, the students, the staff members that want to explore AI tools have that opportunity available to them. Thinking in the future of how we may begin to incorporate the AI tools into curriculum mapping and professional development, those conversations are starting to happen. And we want to make sure that we're always engaging with our community along the way. So having those continuous feedback loops, also providing the training for all the tools as we incorporate them into the instruction.
Yeah. Okay. So let's dive deeper into the PD. Is PD being offered to teachers to ensure that they can effectively use those AI tools in the classroom? And I'm assuming the answer is yes. So can you share the plan if that is in fact the case as to how that's happening?
I love this question. I love professional development, professional learning. It is definitely my wheelhouse. And so we've done a lot this year on professional learning and AI. So when we purchased Turnitin, the library program sort of took the initiative and lead on that. And so we took a train-the-trainer approach where our school librarians did training for all of their individual schools. And we've also offered trainings directly from Turnitin during our district professional development days for some staff members who maybe missed that training. We also have, as I said, district professional development days at strategic times throughout the school year. And everyone, we've offered at least one or two sessions that specifically focus on artificial intelligence and the tools that teachers have available to them. The last district PD day, we did a session on using artificial intelligence in the writing process. And we had a good number of educators join. They were so excited to see how they could incorporate it into instruction like that. And I think that's really where a lot of teachers are at in terms of, I want to explore this tool. I have a little bit of fear, but I just need a little bit more support and guidance and resources in order to do that. And so just taking small steps and specific, explicit ways that you could use it goes leaps and bounds for teachers. We also have done things where we've brought leadership into different trainings and talking about those tools that we want to incorporate into instruction so that they could begin thinking about their curriculum mapping and how they could incorporate it in the future. We have asynchronous training for teachers that they can go to and learn some bite-sized information about AI. And then finally, we have a very personalized approach. So in DCPS, we have what's called the cluster support model, which there is a team of central service employees that support schools directly. You will have a ELA coach, a math coach, science, attendance, ed tech, of course. And so schools reach out and they are able to get very personalized training and support, as well as ongoing coaching after that. So a lot of different approaches. And I think that's what makes it very meaningful, because there's not just one way that you can learn about AI. We want to make sure that however you want to learn, however you want to engage with us, we have a system and structure there for you.
Which is interesting, because when I think about AI, I see like that tool itself being used to personalize learning experiences for students. I think that's one of the things I'm so fascinated by that AI can offer, supporting those students that have diverse needs and abilities. And so I'm just curious, because you talked about the PD that was just facilitated out, were your teachers able to see all the ways that they could essentially get some time back in using the AI tools that were discussed in that training to be able to support students?
Every professional development we do, we always incorporate some sort of demo of the tool that we're talking about, and also allow our educators time to play with that tool during the professional development. So one tool that we have been sort of highlighting is Microsoft Copilot. We are a Microsoft school district, and I always have some prompts prepared prior to, and when I prompt the Copilot to, let's say, differentiate activities for said lesson plan, and the teachers start to see the text just show up on the screen, you could hear the gasps in the room.
Oh, that's such an amazing learning moment. Oh, yeah. Yes. Love it.
So they see it, and that's what starts to have light bulbs go off for them of different ways that they could begin to use a tool like that, not just for instruction, but like you said, for efficiency. So maybe it's revising or enhancing that communication to a parent. Maybe it's ways of using the tool to identify weakness across my whole class and designing a mini lesson on that specific skill. So right now we're getting into how can we look at it in terms of curriculum support, but I also want to begin to explore how we could look at using it for accessibility and inclusion.
I love that that is like the thought and at the forefront of your mind as you begin to further investigate what these tools have to offer, because there are a lot of AI tools out there, and some of them are very similar in what they offer, and some of them are very different. But again, if the goal is to empower that curiosity, but to also enable and support teachers and students, what a great way to think about that piece of the puzzle as well, right? Why not? I want you to spill some tea for me. So you talked about Microsoft Copilot as one of the approved AI apps that your district is using. Are there others, or is there one that maybe you are excited about that might be coming that you would recommend to a school who is a little further behind in where your district is in terms of creating those AI policies, but want to also engage in that curiosity and see what a tool has to offer?
Yeah, my recommendation really would be one of the approaches we took, which was auditing the tools that we already have in the district. And when we did that, we saw that we had AI enhanced tools accessible that can support student outcomes like reading fluency, math fluency, information literacy. And these were all happened to be Microsoft tools, to coin them as their learning accelerators. And that is probably the easiest approach, low stakes, high impact approach that you could have as a district, is using what you already have. You know that if you're using a tool that has already been vetted by your IT and your infrastructure, it follows those ethical and responsible uses within the district. So you know that the tool follows those ethical guidelines and terms of service, privacy policies, and all of those laws that connect to that in terms of student data privacy for that low stakes, high impact.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you didn't spill the tea about particular apps, but I did like that you kept that broad. But in talking, I mean, I feel like we talked a little bit about a lot about the policy, a little bit about that teacher perspective. I do kind of want to bring it back to the student perspective one more time and talk a little bit more about personalized learning. So I'm curious how you see AI being used to personalize learning experiences for those students that do have diverse needs and abilities and just need that additional support.
I definitely have ideas and visions, but I want to make sure that our students are leading that charge first and foremost. And the great thing is that it's already happening in our district. When we were having students discuss AI and their thoughts, they were sharing ways that they've already been using it this school year. We had a student talk about how they're using it for checking their grammar or recommending alternative words for a paragraph where they noticed they've been using some word repetitively. We had another student talk about how they're inputting their notes or their lesson guides from their teachers to create study guide questions so they could prepare for the exam. We also have another student who in their coding club is designing their own chatbot. So these are just some of the ways that our students have already found ways to personalize using AI for their own benefit. We also have at the Central Service Team, the Interdisciplinary Curricular Redesign Team, they're thinking of ways of using chatbots in projects where students take on the role of a genetic counselor in a simulated session, and they interact with an AI-generated client. So
I've seen things like this. It's fascinating.
It's absolutely fascinating. And yeah. I can't wait to see more and more of these kinds of learning opportunities show up in day-to-day instruction. I know personally, and what my colleagues share who are thinking about that future and sustainable investment, and we really want to explore a DCPS tutor chatbot where it's trained on our own curriculum to support our students and empower them in their own learning. I also see tools like Adobe Firefly coupled with tools like Microsoft Copilot to support student entrepreneurship. You know, they can use these tools to create their own content, their own brand, and maybe even their own company one day. You know, this AI technology really opens those doors for them that maybe would have never been possible. So the future of AI and the personalization really is what the student sees it to be for themselves. And that's so exciting.
So my last question for you today was going to be, how do you foresee AI transforming the future of education in your district? And you've kind of spoke to that just now with how students are using it and where it could go for them. But anything in addition that you would care to add to that, like where you see it going in your district, what long-term goals you're looking to achieve in terms of integration with AI?
Yeah, so definitely personalized learning, as we talked about. So tailoring content to meet the needs of individual students, their learning styles, their pace. I also spoke, I want to see more with accessibility and inclusion. So using AI tools designed for accessibility to break down those barriers for students with disabilities. I'm also excited to see ways that we could provide efficient feedback to students. So assessment tools that could provide that immediate feedback, allowing them for more timely and personalized support. And then thinking on the teacher side, tools that can enhance their capacity. So automating some administrative tasks for them. And then finally, which I've also talked about, is that curriculum development and alignment. How can we use AI to analyze our curriculum and identify gaps that may exist so that we can ensure that our students are getting the best education they can in the nation's capital?
It's wild. It's wild that you can just input that kind of information and get out all of the things, and then be able to ask the question a different way, to get a different answer, or to like change that answer for all that to happen. But AI, we should, nope, never mind. I was going to try to say something funny, but I got nothing. Okay, so.
You should ask AI for the funny joke.
I should. I most certainly should. And I plug something in here. Support me in coming up with a funny joke to say as we wrap this up. I mentioned this by kicking off the episode today, and I do kind of want to come full circle and acknowledge this again. Like the District of Columbia Public Schools, you guys are ahead of the curve and doing a lot of great things to support the district, your teachers, students. And so for our audience members that are listening to this episode here, how can they get in contact with you or your team to be able to learn more about the amazing things that you're doing, or just really to kind of use you, you know, as a sounding board or however it is that we continue to build community?
Absolutely. So there's two ways you could reach me. One, I am on LinkedIn, so you could just search my name, Lucas Torrey. We also have a LinkedIn group for our EdTech team. So if you're interested in seeing what my managers are doing in schools, you could catch a glimpse there. Or you could also reach out to our EdTech email, which is dcps.edtech@k12.dc.gov, to engage with any conversations that you might want to have.
I want to just say congratulations again for shedding some light on this topic, because it is a hot topic right now in education, but also just like doing the work, talking to the people, understanding what the needs are, and then being able to be such a support for everyone in your district. So thank you for all of the things.
Thank you so much for this opportunity to share the work that we're doing. And like, as you said earlier, you know, how can we support districts who might be a little bit more behind than others? And I think these are the ways that we can, just sharing insights and our experiences and the work that we're doing, so that hopefully it could put a light bulb or a fire under someone else and empower more students.
Yeah, well, get ready, Lucas, because I feel like your inbox is going to be full of lots of questions from our listeners. So with that, thank you, everyone, for listening, and send Lucas over those emails. Thank you again, Lucas. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Tech on Rec. If you had as much fun as we did and want to keep exploring new ways to unrec tech, make sure to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. You can stay connected and see what we're up to by following us on Instagram @TechUnRec and on X @TUnRec.